You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Okay, folks, soldiering on solo is yours truly, James Edwards, TPC. October, the weather finally broke in the South. Thank you, God. Oh, this week has been wonderful outside. The weather, highs in the 60s and low 70s. I can get used to that, being a son of the windswept isles of northeastern Europe. Northwestern Europe, I guess. Is that east or west? East, right? Scotland, Ireland, that's where we're from. That's the kind of climate we were born into. Never took to the southern summers. I love this time of year. Love this time of year a lot. What did we do in the first hour? So we kicked off the show tonight with Keith Alexander, one segment only this evening. And Keith and I offered some final reflections on the Kavanaugh confirmation. And then I set the record straight on a certain best-selling book that's packed with lies. And I mean packed in the first paragraph. And that's as far as I could make it. I don't even know how many lies are in the rest of the book. But if the first paragraph has about a half a dozen, that doesn't speak well for the author or the subject, to be honest. And then to cap the hour off, the first hour, Paul Nehlen made a surprise call from a Halloween party. He's going to be our guest next week. And you know who else is going to be back on next week? Richard Spencer back on next week. We haven't talked to Richard in a while. And I was talking with Richard last night. So I said, you know what, Richard, let's get you back on the show. And he was all too eager to do it. Richard's been a friend of mine, like so many others, for a long, long time. And Richard will be back next week. Paul Nehlen 1 hour, Richard Spencer the next. Is that a show you might want to tune into, ladies and gentlemen? Let's find out what these two guys have been doing. Let's find out what they're thinking. We'll find out together next week. Paul Nehlen 1 hour, Richard Spencer the next. That's coming up next week. What's coming up the week after that? 14 years on the air, that's what. It will be, next week will be the 20th. The week after that will be the 27th. October 27th, we went on the air. Most famously, October 26th, 2004. So in 2 weeks' time, we will officially be 14 years old. I can't wait. My little baby's growing up so fast. This show, 14 years on the air, and that's going to be a fun show. We're going to have some fun that show, and we will... Well, I'm not going to tell you what we're going to do that show. Well, last year we had a conference. We're not doing that this year. Last year, well, I wish we were, but we're not. Last year, we had the conference for the anniversary, for the 13th anniversary. This year, no conference. We do those intermittently. You never know when we're going to do them. We didn't do one for 10 years. Then we did one on the 10th. Then we did one on the 13th. How random is that? We'll do another one one day. Maybe next year. Maybe another year. Who knows? But last year, we had a conference. This year, no conference, but we're going to have a fun show in 2 weeks' time. Next week, Richard and Paul. Tonight, we're having fun together, are we not, ladies and gentlemen? Now, we also talked about a couple of these interviews that I gave, or rather one, on the public space. And then we talked about how this talented artist, Matthew Drake, illustrated a segment of TPC. Folks, I can't over-exaggerate the amazement that I had when I watched this YouTube video. It's on YouTube. Access it at thepoliticalcesspool.org. I think you'll enjoy it. But there was another show that I appeared on this week. I joined a roundtable discussion with Bill Johnson and Paul Fromm. Now, we haven't even posted that to our website yet because it's been such a busy week, but that will post on Monday. So every day is a good day to go to thepoliticalcesspool.org, obviously. But on Monday, we will post this interview, or rather this roundtable discussion that I did with Bill Johnson, Paul Fromm, Ken Gividen of thedailyken.com, and Kyle Rogers, old friend from the Council of Conservative Citizens. Always fun to see these guys who have been friends of mine for many years. That was a very fun show, and that will post to thepoliticalcesspool.org on Monday, so just in a couple of days. So check that out. Lots of interviews this week. And, oh, by the way, Did you get your gift from us in the mail this week? Now, not all of you have. There are a couple of stragglers who will receive theirs on Monday. And the people who ordered from international locations will get theirs later in the month. But I can tell you this. They have all been shipped, and I would dare to reason that 85% of them have been delivered by now. So did you like your gift package? Let us know. Send us an email. You can go to the website and send it through the web form, or just email me directly, jamesedwards@thepoliticalcesspool.org. Now, let me tell you why it took me so long to get these out to you, ladies and gentlemen. It takes a little while to get these out. Well, for a couple of reasons. Number one, I'd like to wait until the end of the month when all of the orders have come in, when all of the contributions of all of the grain has been brought into the granary, into the storehouse, and then we send everything out at once. But we sent them out. So many of you, and God bless you, so many of you send a personal note or a letter along with your contribution if you mail in a check or a money order. And even those who donate online often send in an email to accompany the contribution. And I like to, I can't always do it. I haven't always done it. But this time I did make a concerted effort to write a personal note to each of you who sent in a piece of personal correspondence to respond to that particular piece of mail specifically and individually. And so it takes a minute to do that for everybody, but I can't think of time better spent. And so I sat down, and my wife and we packaged these things, and I wrote a note to everybody. I kept all of the mail that came in October, and for every piece of mail that was accompanied by a contribution, we tried to send something back. And so that took me a few days to get done, and that's why you didn't receive your gift before now. For those of you who donated in early September for the third quarter fundraising drive, you had to wait over a month. Sorry about that. But they are all out now, and I hope you'll enjoy the contents of the package. I hope you'll enjoy the letter. It's really heartfelt, and I think that y'all deserve that. I think y'all deserve that personal touch. We are a family here. This isn't a host audience relationship. I mean, I guess in some capacity, technically it is, but you know, you're much more than that to me. And I think that my family is much more than that to you, and together we move forward, always together, always forward, onward we go. And speaking of my family, there was a picture I took recently of my wife and my children, a nice fall day, the sun setting behind them out by the pond. And I posted that to Twitter last night, and thank you so much for everybody who liked that. And I like sharing myself with you, and I like sharing my story with you. I can't tell you everything, you know, obviously, but I like telling you a lot about what goes on in our personal lives, because again, why? We're a family. So I like sharing pictures of my family with you. And we did that yesterday at James Edwards TPC on Twitter. And there's a picture of my beautiful wife. My God, does she look good. And my kids, they look good too. Equally good, just in a different way. And so we've got them on there, and you can go check that out. And, hey, we're here for you. We're all a family together. When we come back, Dr. Kevin McDonald. Can you handle Kevin tonight? We got Kevin. He's coming up next. Stay tuned.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to the show. How about our featured guest of the evening, Dr. Kevin McDonald? Always a pleasure to have Kevin on the show. He's a man who needs no introduction, but of course you know him as the author of so many books, including The Culture of Critique, Cultural Insurrections. He is the editor of The Occidental Quarterly, the proprietor of the OccidentalObserver.net, and of course a former professor at California State University, Long Beach, among many, many, many other highlights, honors, and accolades. He is my friend, and he is Dr. Kevin McDonald. Kevin, how are you tonight?
That's right. We're friends. I'm great, James. Great to be here.
Well, it's great to have you back. So any reason is a good reason to have you on, and we can't have you on often enough. You've been appearing on this show dead gum near our entire 14-year run. And by the way, Kevin, just very quickly, a quick aside, I was just making mention of this before the last commercial break. In 2 weeks' time, we will be officially 14 years old. Now, you've known me for a long time. When we first met, did you think I'd be making it 14 years in this business?
Well, I'm really glad that you have. I mean, it's a terrific show, a very important show for our side, that's for sure. Yeah, but I saw you talk, and I can see how professional your show is. And I've been on a lot of different shows. Your show is very professional. It's just very well managed. It's top notch.
Well, thank you for saying that, Sam. He read the script word for word, so you can go ahead and send him that check. Thank you, Kevin, for doing.
Okay, that was gone.
No, in all honesty, thank you for that. As Sam Dixon says, we are members of a mutual admiration society, and. Yeah. We never rest on our past accomplishments, and certainly your accomplishments are vast and varied, but there is something new coming up, which is, I guess, one of the reasons I wanted to have you on tonight. So we'll make mention of this, and then we'll talk a little bit more about other things in a moment. But there is something coming up that no one knows about. I don't think this has ever been mentioned publicly, although we will start promoting it on our respective websites. There's something coming up, a new initiative, a new endeavor called TOQ Live. That's for the Occidental Quarterly, the quarterly journal that Kevin so capably edits each and every, quarter, hence the name. But it's been going on for well over a decade. It is, I think, the intellectual publication, the capital T-H-E, of the right, of the intellectual right. And there is a new show that's going to be coming on to promote it, and it's going to be a video thing. It's going to be a video show on YouTube called TOQLive.com, and I'll be taking a part in that, and Kevin will as well, and we're going to kick this thing off in November. So it's going to be a topical show, but it's also going to exist to bring shed more light on what the Occidental Quarterly is, what's going on in recent issues, what's going on, what's to come in future issues. We're going to be talking with different contributors to TOQ, different authors who extend to the publication their expertise and talent to fill each installment cover to cover with fantastic content. And, of course, Kevin is at the center of all of this. So, Kevin, you this idea was pitched to us by a mutual friend, and I thought it was a good idea. I was happy to help, and you're coming on board, and we're going to kick this thing off in November.
I'm definitely looking forward to it, James. It'll be the first time we've really done this, and it's very important to get the Occidental Quarterly out there. As you say, it is the premier intellectual journal on the right. And, you know, we've had problems because, you know, PayPal canceled us, and the credit card processes have canceled us. So we're sort of, you know, relying on people sending checks right now. And I think we will get the credit cards up again, but it's very hard to, you know, to just do this online. So we lost some subscriptions, but it's very important to keep it going. And we can't let them win at this. You know, we have to... you know, you say you've been on for 14 years. I've been doing Occidental Observer for, I think, 10 years. I've done Occidental Quarterly for 7 years, I think. It's very important to just keep them going. You know, you've got to have persistence and keep it out there because, you know, it's very important. And of course, that's what the media does. I mean, they're always out there. They're always going to be, you know, promoting the same stuff, saying it in different ways. But you know, we try to, you know, really be, you know, very rigorous in terms of our scholarship. We try to, you know, get it right. You know, unlike I think the people on the left, so many academics now. You see so many academic journals. Here on Twitter, there's this guy called Peer Review, something like that, Real Peer Review, I think, and he has these academic articles from real academic journals, and they're just absolutely wacko. I mean, you know, some guy does this stuff. You know, they actually did some fake studies. They wrote their stuff up, pretended it was a real article, sent it in, and they were published. It was like stuff on watching dogs have sex at a park or something like that. If you just study, that's the stuff that gets published, you know, in real academic journals. People get tenure with stuff like that, you know, and so we're trying our best, you know. I've got some great writers. I've got really great writers. In the winter issue, there's an article by Brenton Sanderson. He's an Australian, and he writes about especially about the white Australia policy and what's happening, the sort of war against whites in Australia. And Andrew Joyce has a number of many good articles, great articles, especially on Jewish issues. He's a Jewish studies PhD. And I just put together the issue for issue number 4, 2018, 2019 for the winter. And we got a great review of a biography of Phil Rushton by Roger Devlin. I know Roger's been on the show a number of times. And, you know, so it's very informative about this man, scientist. A lot of things that I didn't know. So, you know, it's really a stimulating journal, and I hope people will start to get involved.
Well, I think that they will, and I'm happy to help raise awareness of this. And I think, you know, the guy who pitched this to us, we won't mention his name, what a visionary. And he said, James, Kevin, you two are too handsome to be stuck in radio. You need to be out there on video. And I said, you know what? You're right. So that's what we're gonna do, but no. In all seriousness, TOQ, what a fantastic journal! And yes, if the left is gonna take scalps, they don't have to take ours. And so People can always, I don't know if people remember this, though. Folks, you can always send in checks, donations, contributions, subscriptions to TOQ the way your grandfather did. Write a check. That still works. It doesn't have to be e-commerce. You can still put a check in the mail, and that goes in the bank just the same, and you can help support the institutions and the outlets worthy of support. And obviously, TOQ and TOO, anything attached to Kevin McDonald is going to be worthy of that. And so that's what this new endeavor is about. And so I'll be working on it. I'll be actually hosting it. Kevin is going to have a hand in it. And of course, other people who are
cost much. It's only $60 a year for four issues. You know, they're very, very professionally bound and everything. $30 a year for the online version. So it's really something that everybody, I think, should. I think everybody would find something that they would think was interesting and important. And it really gets them to think, I think.
Well, we certainly wouldn't promote it otherwise, and I know you wouldn't be involved with it otherwise, and it has been around for a very long time. Kevin's been the editor of it for 7 years, and I think it's at least twice as old as that. So it is
a 2000, in 2000. This is volume
18 years old.
Finishing up. Yeah, it's 18.
18 years old. Fantastic. And so that's something coming, and that will be something that launches, debuts Sunday, November 4th, and it will air the first Sunday of every month, just a once-a-month show going forward, beginning Sunday, November 4th, and the first Sunday of every month henceforth. And Kevin will be involved. I'll be involved. It'll be something that will be of interest to you. But stay tuned. We'll be back with more from Kevin right after this.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay. Abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Oh yeah, oh, wanna be my-
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, so we had Kevin on for two reasons tonight. Dr. Kevin McDonald, of course. One was to plug TOQ Live, which is a brand new endeavor that we're going to be launching Sunday. I'm going to be busy every weekend now, or at least both days of the weekend, the first weekend of every month. It's going to air every Sunday, the first Sunday of every month, I should say. Excuse me, the first Sunday of every month. Let me be clear about that. And I know it's still 2 weeks away, so don't worry about it. We'll remind you again before we get to November 4th, although November 4th, daylight savings time ends, so I hope that doesn't cause even more confusion. But the website is toqlive.com. That is being put together right now, so you can bookmark it Sunday, November 4th. And I think what we're going to do that first show is something Kevin has made countless appearances on this show, but I think what I want to do that first opening night for TOQ Live is really get in to Kevin's bio. I'm talking childhood, his formative years, how he came to the conclusions on the issues, the right thinking and logical and sensible and correct conclusions on the issues that he has drawn, and really start with there. Maybe some of his battles at Cal State, Long Beach. Who knows what we'll get into? But at the center of it all will be this fantastic journal that he edits, and I hope that you will join us for that ride on YouTube. So we're going to expand into video, a little separate entity, but all related. There's one trunk and many branches, but they're all interconnected, and I look forward to doing that. But for this segment, Kevin, we were talking right before we went on the air tonight, and I mean right before we went on the air. I think less than 5 minutes before the on-air switch went red, we were on the phone together, and we were talking about violence and the midterm elections. And what you think our people should do. Should we go and vote for the Republican slate? I know a lot of people out there have different opinions, even in our own movement. So let's let you take it away from there, my friend. The violence, the increasing violence that the left is inflicting upon our people, and the looming midterms, what you see happening there and what you think we should do.
Yeah, it's just amazing. I mean, we see example after example of this. I think the Republicans have an ad out now where they piece this together. I mean, it starts out with this guy, you know, this white, you know, this young white guy, and he just kicks this woman who's protesting abortion. She's pro-life, just kicks her just viciously. But there's so much more. You look at the anti-porn in Portland. You look at you know, something like Maxine Waters telling everybody that they should be harassing all the public officials. And there had been a lot of harassment. Secretary Nielsen's been harassed. Senators have been harassed. Cruz, with the Kavanaugh hearing, you had all those protests in the halls of the Senate. A lot of them had to be removed and arrested. It's just one thing after another. And I think the Republicans have decided to actually run on this. And I think it's a good idea, you know, put these things together. It's compelling, and you know, it makes you wonder what would happen if the Republicans did hold on to the House, and if they maybe even got a couple extra seats in the Senate or in the House. I mean, it would. I think they'd freak out. I think that they're really, they just cannot handle that Trump and the Republicans are in power. And you ask what I hope to happen, and I hope that the Republicans do win in November. If they don't, the House could certainly go the other way. And there's a long historical trend, you know, where the party that's out of power, gains seats in the midterm. And so that could happen. But if it does, you know, you're going to see impeachment in the House. For sure, and of course, it won't be confirmed in the Senate, but it's going to happen in the House. And it's hard for Trump to get anything through now that we really want. I think, especially with immigration, it's going to be impossible if the Democrats get a hold of one of the branches of Congress. So I really would hope that the Republicans can hold on here. You do see quite a bit of the racist hiding. They do these generic ballots, and My understanding is that it's become much more even. It was favoring the Democrats by a huge amount. Some evidence that Hispanic voters are less enthusiastic than they would expect. They're not sure about blacks, but blacks historically don't turn out much in the midterms. And people are going to really turn out are white women, and they're, you know, unfortunately, they're going to be very much, in general, they're going to be very much in favor of Democrats. But I think white men are going to be Republican. There's some recent articles in the New York Times about that. You know, I think you're going to see a bigger sex difference than usual. We'll see what happens, but I sure do hope that, the Republicans can keep control. I wouldn't think that if Jeb Bush was in, but I do think Trump has his heart in the right place in most of our issues.
Kevin, I agree with you 100%. That's not unusual, but yeah, I was just thinking right as you spoke it. I was thinking, you know what? I agree, and I'd already come to this conclusion. I wouldn't have felt this way. I didn't feel this way in 2000 when I was working for Buchanan, and it was Bush versus Gore. And in all honesty, I wanted Bush to lose that election just because I had such contempt for the Republican Party. Now, the Republican Party at large, I'm not a Republican. I'm a white man. But in this day and age, with everything being as contentious as it is, there is no doubt that the best thing for whites right now is to keep Democrats out to the fullest extent that we can, to keep them out of the House, keep them out of the Senate, to keep them out of the White House. And it looks like we've sewn up the Supreme Court for a while. But I wouldn't have felt this way in previous if it were not for Trump. I wouldn't have felt this way. But the situation being what it is, I know Republicans are not pro-white, and with the exception of Steve King and a couple of others, there's not a redeeming one in the lot, but they will be better than the Democrats. There is, I don't want to say lesser of two evils, but there is a bit of a difference this time.
There is a difference. And I think it's an important difference. I think Trump is on our side in on these things. And you just imagine if Hillary had won in 2016. I think we would really, you know, pretty much the game would be over. You know, they would have increased legal immigration. They would have given amnesty. The whole demographic battle would be completely lost. And, I just thought, shudder to think what would happen. But I do think that the Republican Party is becoming Trump's party. People like Jeff Flake are not feeling very welcome in the party. I think that's why he retired. And I think that, you know, it's becoming more of a populist party. We see the trends in Europe in the same way. People are resonating to these things, especially men, and especially white men, I should say. I'm hopeful.
Well, I'll tell you, there has been a noticeable shift. I think we remember when candidate Trump was running, it took months before the first Republican came out, and that was obviously Jeff Sessions in Alabama, the first elected official come out and embrace Trump. And now we see it here in Tennessee with a hotly contested race for Senate between Marsha Blackburn and Phil Bredesen. Marsha is doing everything she can to let everyone know she's Trump's girl. I mean, did you see this picture I had with Trump? And I'll do everything I can to help Trump. I mean, Trump said he has won them over. They all opposed him all the way to the bitter end, but might makes right. And it's like I always said, whoever has the power, people are going to gravitate towards them. He has the power,
absolutely,
and he's changing the Republican Party and his image. And he's been President Trump hasn't accomplished everything that candidate Trump promised, but I'm sure glad he's in there.
I'm sure glad he's in there. Yeah, I do think that we're seeing it's becoming more of a populist party. I think that, you know, as you say, once you got that power, the Republicans are going to have to pretty much fall in line. The only one I know is really not is this guy Kasich. Can you imagine how bad he would have been, the governor of Ohio? He's probably worse than Jeb Bush. Man, he is just awful. But there are some Republicans like that, but I think they're getting the message that this is a different party now.
All right, well, you heard it, ladies and gentlemen. Go vote for your Republican slate. Is that putting it too bluntly, or is that over the top? Or I guess you have to go perhaps city by city, state by state. There could be some variable there, but by and large, it would be better for white people. And that's what we're talking about here. What we care about,
yeah,
our people.
Right?
It would be better for our people for the Republicans to maintain their dominance.
Yeah, and especially if with this populist trend. I mean, let's face it, there's no real prospect of a third party in this country. We have to hope that we can, that the Republican Party can be our party at some point. And it's heading in that direction. Trump is the best thing that's happened to it.
And there's not many Republicans, there's not any, maybe King, maybe, that would say, hey, I'm standing up for white people. But that's not to say that it can't become that. We'll see. Hey,
yeah, we'll see.
Kevin, thank you so much. Love you. We'll talk to you on TOQ Live November 4th. Kevin McDonald, everybody, TheOccidentalObserver.net.
Liberty News Radio Network.
We fought. We learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare. The war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Isn't this great? Just the two of us. No work, no interruptions, no phone, no TV. Finally, we have a chance to just talk. I mean, how long has it been? Well, first of all, we should talk about your schedule. There are a few things that could use some adjusting, but overall, I think it's going all right. Basically, I think we're doing a pretty good job of communicating, which is good. You're doing a really good job of letting me know how you feel about things. I want to keep the lines open, if you know what I mean.
Jerry? It's 4 o'clock in the morning. What are you doing?
Oh, I was just giving Emily a bottle.
Who are you talking to?
Emily.
She's only 3 weeks old, and she's asleep.
I know. I was just practicing.
Family, isn't it about time?
Isn't this great? Just the three of us. No work, no interruptions, no phone.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of 1-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
Days when the rains came down in the hollow, playing a new game, laughing and a running, hey hey, skipping and a jumping in the misty morning fog with our hearts a thumping, and you, my brown eyed girl.
Oh boy, that song takes me back. That's actually Jack Ryan's intro music for this segment. We're going to have Jack on again in the third hour. We're splitting him up tonight. We're going to see how that works. just trying something different, just having a little fun with the time. But that song, I sang that song to my wife on our honeymoon cruise in 2006. And we were on our honeymoon, obviously, so people made a big deal about it. But did I ever tell y'all how good she looks? Anyway, every time I hear that song, we're going to find out why Jack picked it in just a second. But every time I hear it, that's what I think about. And it always brings a smile to my face. But before we get to Jack, very, very quickly, we want to go to a caller who's been waiting patiently from California, John in California.
Hello, how are you doing, sir?
I'm all right.
Hello? Listen, yes. I'm glad I didn't have to listen to you sing that song.
I did pretty good.
Well, I hope so, because it's better than that record. Listen, Mr. Edwards, you know, I know you've got people here coming and going and all this that have newsletters and podcasts and radio shows and all that kind of stuff. I just wanted to let you know that, you know, when I try to communicate with you or I try to give you an opinion or a position, you know, I'm a paralegal out here in California. I don't read newsletters. I read laws. So when I try to give you a fact or a point of authority, you know, I'm not giving you any joshing type of BS. You know, this thing about social division, you should try to encourage that as much as possible because that's required by Planned Parenthood versus Casey in order to review Brown versus Board of Education. You can check that out with Keith if you'd like. So I wanted you to know that. That's all.
Well, thank you for calling. And I know who you are, and I appreciate when you send us in correspondence. What we really need to do, and we can't do it on the air right now, obviously, we need to get together. We need to have obviously you're in California, but we need to have a phone call between you and Keith or a three-way. And we will talk more. If you could, right now, just say John in California, email me one last time if I haven't had it before, your phone number. We'll touch base with you this week. All right? Okay, he's gone. So hopefully he heard that. All right, now, let's go to Jack Ryan. And thank you, Jack, for being patient during that call. We try to get to as many people as we can. Brown-eyed girls, well, thank you. Well, I'm a fan of yours, Jack. So the song was Brown Eyed Girl. That's your song for tonight. Like I said,
well,
that's
actually
a special song to me.
I really do like the Van Morrison Brown Eyed Girl, but my...
Oh, but you wanted the Isley Brothers version. That's Brown. Right. I forgot. I told Sam wrong.
They're very good. So it just shows you that...
No, that's my bad. I told Sam Van Morrison.
But you know, you never have to apologize for playing great music, and Van Morrison is great. we like a wide variety of music. I forgot who we said. It was a black music producer, but there's really two types of music. There's good music and there's bad music, and those are both good music. But I'm insist to our listeners that bad does not mean good. And I've lived in a lot of places where they try to push this ghetto idea that bad means good. So bad music is not good. Having a bad crime rate is not good. Having bad body odor is not good. Having a bad credit score is not good. Having a bad case of venereal disease is not good. So we don't promote bad things during the show. We promote good things. But soul, though, but not boring and stuff. But we don't promote bad things.
No, we don't. It's healthy and law and order every time. That's us. So why did we pick the song Brown Eyed Girl? That's what I'm getting at.
Just I like the song. And I'm definitely...
No further reason needed.
Places where we're trying to compete for the jukebox, and there's this plague of hip-hop rap music. And I was there at the inception. Right after college, I graduated Vanderbilt. I went to New York City, and I was a public school teacher for 2 years in Brooklyn. I was teaching the very charming ages of 7th and 8th grade. They're the worst days, and they're having fighting. And so I heard this rap music, and I'm like, wow, this is really vulgar. This is really insulting and violent. But it's just a fad. It'll never last. And here it is 30 years later, and we're still stuck with this plague. And so I try to contest the jukebox. I try to play good R&B, soul, Motown, ska. I try to play good music instead of this hippity hop rap stuff. So that's, and then it's just the Isley Brothers is one of the best R&B souls of the 70s, and so what's wrong with the, you know, why not play great music? That's what I do.
Hey, let me tell you something. Isley Brothers, This Old Heart of Mine.
Okay.
I'm not saying there's not better songs, but there's not much better songs than that.
They're not a one hit wonder though. If you go down the list, the Isley Brothers, you hear some song you've never heard of, you play it, it's going to be good. They don't play, you know, bad music. So that's something.
Well, a lot of the early Motown stuff, Tears of a Clown, a lot of the Supremes, Four Tops, Temptations, I mean, I know a lot of the Four Tops of Temptations were, you know, ODing on drugs left and right, but whatever the case, that was wholesome, healthy music. That was a totally different breed.
And so who was the business guy, Barry Gordy? He had this vision, and it was a really good one, to take Black American music that was soulful, but it would clean it up. And they had a finishing school so that the people were well-dressed. They didn't swear. And so he produced this music that was going to be popular with all kinds of Americans, and it was such a success, and it was so good. But we would just wish it would last some more. And if there was some business person out there that could do that, well, they could make a ton of money, could make great music, but instead we're stuck with this rap crap stuff. So
yeah, I tell you what, black music has fallen far from the early 60s. I mean, Please, Mr. Postman. Go listen to Please, Mr. Postman and compare that with what's out there today.
It's like
those were good music.
Boxers from the 70s. If someone had told me in the 70s during Muhammad Ali, George Foreman, Joe Frazier, Sugar Ray Leonard, that there wouldn't be a single Black American boxing champion now, I'd say, well, you're crazy. That'll never happen. The only Black American boxing champion they have is Floyd Mayweather, and he weighs like 85 pounds. He'd have to sit on a high chair to get a beer at my bar. So, no, the black box has gone way down. Black popular music is gone. Black politics has always pretty much sucked. So, we really don't have to compare there. So.
I don't know if black preachers have gotten worse since MLK. I guess that when you start at that low of a baseline, there's. Yeah, Jeremiah Wright, better or worse, I don't know. I mean, I guess they've always just been sort of like bottom.
Demagogues. Have you noticed that? Al Sharpton.
Oh, Jesse. Well, there's Jesse Lee Peterson. So, yeah, we got to.
Oh,
Jesse Lee.
Yeah, we need some demagogues.
Okay. So, anyway, we probably chased that rabbit a bit too far. But you know with Jack, and we're doing a little bit of an experiment tonight with Jack. We got Jack for one segment. Then we're going to send him to the locker room for halftime. He's going to be back for the last segment of the third hour. We're just, you know, experimenting tonight. It's DPC. It's live. You never know what we're going to do. So anyway, in Jack's follow-up segment in the third hour, we're just going to have more of a freewheeling conversation. And this is his typical segment where he would come on and offer all of these recommendations and the theme of the week. So we've heard the song. How about the book and the movie?
Okay, well, I'm going to start actually with the theme of the week because it ties right into the book movie. The theme of the week is heterosexual Western movies and TV shows. And my book and movie is actually a TV miniseries. Recommendations are the same. They're Larry McMurtry's Lonesome Dove. The book, actually, I read it after the miniseries came out. I think it came out in the mid-80s, but they just hadn't done any heterosexual Westerns in the United States since the early 60s. They did spaghetti westerns in Italy after that, but the Lonesome Dove was fantastic. It was starring one of our favorite actors, Robert Duvall. So I highly recommend both the book and the movie and the miniseries Lonesome Dove.
Hang on a minute there, Jack. If you're recommending Lonesome Dove as the book and the movie, are you familiar with In Lonesome Dove by Garth Brooks, a pretty good West country song, if I do say so myself. That's from early Garth Brooks. Are you familiar with that one?
I'm familiar with the song. And my country music, I know classic country, but I just didn't, even though I went to college in Nashville, it wasn't a good time for country music. And then I like Steve Earle, but I don't know the country. So if there's a country out there, I need to be educated about it because I just
There's not much. There's not much. And Garth Brooks is washed up politically, but as so many entertainers are, or at least he pretends to be in order to keep his livelihood. But
the 30 silver went gay. You know, I think that's about as bad as that you can go, isn't it? I mean, come on.
could most certainly be he could most certainly be joshing, as our previous caller said, in order to keep his livelihood. But early Garth Brooks, a lot of good country music.
Okay,
there. But I we're gonna send this to Sam, and we're gonna see Sam. We don't like to ask Sam to work while he's producing, but we're gonna send this clip over in Lonesome Dove. Now you're gonna be back with us the last segment of the third hour. And so we might give you a double intro in Lonesome Dove. You can look it up on YouTube, In Lonesome Dove by Garth Brooks. That would tie into your book and movie. But how about, what else can you tell us about the theme? Heterosexual Westerns, I mean, we like heterosexual manly men, that's for sure.
So they have. I just sort of discovered fairly recently these early 60s television black and white Westerns. The longest running TV show, I think, in nation's history was Gunsmoke, starring James Arness. But I highly recommend the precursor, Marshall Dillon, and then the first years of the black and white Gunsmoke. And I just didn't even know, I didn't tell a week ago, that Burt Reynolds got his start as an actor on the Gunsmoke. And I just saw a clip on it, and it's pretty good, and it's very interesting. Okay, the Gunsmoke Rifleman. Well, we'll have to come back in there and talk about it. Lots of violence, no sex. So it's a different time.
Well, sometimes we like the opposite, but we'll pick this up. You got to wait an hour, but we're going to pick it up, and we will we'll talk more. Stay tuned.
Okay. In the can,
but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.